can and go across the track. Where the viaduct looms like a bird of doom as it shifts and cracks. Where secrets lie in the border fires and the humming wise. Yeah, man, you know you're never coming back. Across the square, across the bridge, past the mills, past the stacks. On a gathering storm comes a tall, handsome man in a dusty black coat with a red right hand.
Hey everybody, welcome to Scaredy Cats, the top horror show on the Everything Unscripted Network. Hootie hoo, I'm one of your co-hosts, Daniel Hummer, and I'm here with...
You are here with Mindy, of course. I had to give the good old hootie hoo.
Yes.
How are you doing, guys? This is going to be a really, really fun podcast.
This is a special episode. It's mine and Mindy, two big horror fans, our top 10 horror movies. Just our biased list, our favorite top 10 horror movies of all time.
And just... put in mind that this is just a little chunk.
Yeah.
But honestly, like, we had a really hard time narrowing it
just
down.
Just making it 10, yeah.
To making it 10 of each. Like, it was hard. But we did it, but just know that we'll probably come out with more of these videos.
Oh, yeah, and as we keep growing the Facebook groups and stuff, we could do a whole list of fan votes and shit, too.
Absolutely.
So.
Make sure you look up on Facebook. We have the Instagram page.
Yes.
All that good stuff. And we're also on Snapchat, underneath my private Snapchat, Melinda Hummer, because they wouldn't let me make a Scaredy Cats one, but I go live on that every Sunday morning to let you guys know what we're doing, and then every Sunday night to let you know what we're doing the next week.
Oh, yeah. So
let's get some plugs in this so we can get it to you.
Stay updated. Make sure to keep checking us out, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google, anywhere you can find your podcast, you can find us. Or if you want to check us out live on Blog Talk Radio, we are live right now. Our Saturday show, that we usually go live on our nighttime show, and we pre-record the Unlimited show. But our Friday show is live every 6:30 p.m. on Scripted Wrestling on Fridays. The two shows on Saturday, and then we got Scaredy Cats at 3 p.m. here. Of course, make sure to check out the Dirt Sheet Dudes, Boxman and Smark, every Wednesday after AEW and every Friday after SmackDown.
Yeah, they're entertaining.
Entertaining guys. We probably have more collaborations coming up in the future, as we've done a lot in the past. But let's get into it. Mindy, our top 10 favorite horror movies.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to kill you, Daniel, when you brought this up last week. Because he just, guys, just so you know, he just landed this on me last week. I didn't know about this topic and still you guys knew.
Yeah, you found out with the people.
Yeah, I found out with you guys. So, I don't know who do you want to start?
Well, let's get our honorable mentions out of the way first.
Okay, yeah. Since we are such big horror fans, unfortunately, we couldn't really do a list without getting a couple honorable mentions in it.
Yeah.
So my first honorable mention is duh. It's going to be the Scream franchise.
Yes.
Everyone knows I love that franchise. Will always love that franchise. And I can't help it. I love the movies. I love the TV series. I love the comics.
Yeah.
All that good stuff. My other honorable mention is going to be a British horror film called The Children. Little bit of a different take. The Children is technically a remake, I believe, from a French film. But it was in the 2000s, and basically it's about two families getting together for holiday festivities. There's a lot of cousins and young ones and whatnot, and they all get sick. But the virus causes them to start killing the adults. That's their plan. And, like, they kill their dad by running him into a sled, into a sheet of glass. Like, they're creative. It's a really good movie. So if you're okay with gore and you really like serial killer movies and stuff like that, these kids really are little serial killers. Go check that out.
Yeah.
All right, Daniel, your honorable mention.
My first honorable mention is a cheat because I'm going for a miniseries, but I had to go Rose Red, a Stephen King concoction.
Which I've told you before. Yeah, it's a miniseries on TV and whatnot, but it's a DVD. Mm-hmm. And when you buy it, it says movie.
Yeah, it's basically,
say a miniseries. It's just a really, really long movie. It's like 4 hours.
And it's badass.
But it is badass. It's like Aang, and you like those vibes and everything. Like, it's really good. The girl from Halloween Town that we used to watch, she actually plays an autistic girl who has the shining or whatever in her. So she can see other things. She's really creepy.
Yeah, and her boy from Stay Alive also, and Westworld, big guy. I'm forgetting his name now, but he's in that. The blonde dude.
Mm-hmm.
He gets fucked up in the... it's like a garden. What? An atrium. In the atrium.
Yeah.
When he gets messed up. And I don't know. It's just like, for me, the ghost shit has to really hit for me. That's like one of the subgenres in horror that I can get into it, but it's got to be the right story and it's got to be the right amount of creepiness and all that.
Absolutely.
And this hits it well for me.
Oh, it does. Absolutely.
My other honorable mention, I went a little more comedy. I think it was a little too comedic to put on my actual list, but I went Cabin in the Woods.
That's actually one, guys, that I never actually watched fully.
No way, really?
Yeah, I heard about how great it is and everything, but as far as cabin movies go, man, I like Cabin Fever.
Yeah.
That's my favorite cabin movie. I will probably check out Cabin in the Woods.
Oh, we got to watch it together now. Now that I know you haven't seen it, we got to watch it together.
But I haven't seen it yet, but I have heard really good things about it.
You might only not, but you love, because you love Scream and stuff, you might love the parody aspect of it, because it really is the perfect parody horror movie, but you might think it's a little too funny.
I don't know, though. I like parody horror movies.
Yeah.
You got to remember, my favorite parody horror movie is Shriek. If you know what I did last Friday the 13th.
Yeah, that one's good. This one's taken a little more serious than that, or like a scary movie, or like
that's
those
what I'm
types,
saying. Like, that's as stupid as you get. So
yeah, it's
don't
not
worry
that
about it being stupid.
But it does play into like the archetypes of people, like the stoner guy, and then the Chris Hemsworth, like a jock type dude, and the hot girl, and
Hemsworth.
And like when, because I'm not gonna spoil it for you, but it's all the cabin in the woods is all a simulation for like people, like it's a sacrifice.
Oh well, yeah,
God.
I know that.
And
yeah.
The people, they're like businessmen and women down there, like,
but
and they're
like a cult.
Yeah, and they're betting on who's gonna like who's the monster that needs to kill them.
Yeah, it's a game show.
And the one dude like bet on like a evil merman or some shit like that, and then the merman comes and fucks them up.
I actually saw
that
scene because I saw the scene where they unleashed all the boy and the girl.
Yeah.
They unleashed all
of
the monsters.
Yeah, yeah.
I did see that one.
That was intense too. Yeah, I love that. So that's my honorable mentions. But let's get right into the list, Mindy. We'll start with your number 10.
Right, my number 10 has got to be Frozen. It is not the Disney Channel
Let
movie.
It Go.
It is not Let It Go, I swear to God. Frozen was actually from 2010, I believe. And it's about three young kids. Not too young. They're like college age. You got two best friends, boys, and then you got girl who's girlfriend of one of the boys. And long story short, they actually end up getting trapped on a ski lift, and they end up getting left there for several days. And, like, the girl, she gets frostbite so bad that, like, she falls asleep accidentally up against the pole, and her, like, cheek is stuck to it. And, like, her hand, because she had to throw a glove down at one point to help her boyfriend, who was trying to fight off wolves with his broken legs. She actually forgot that she didn't have a glove and let her hand rest on the guardrail when she was sleeping. And so that stuck to the guardrail, too. She was fucked up.
Ouch.
And then his best friend... What a dude, man. I mean, he started off as such a douchebag, but then, like, he's trying so hard to protect his best friend's girlfriend, even though the best friend's already dead. He's already wolf chow. He's done. But this kid is, like, climbing, like, from car to car on a ski lift. And I don't know if you people know this, but cable wires for ski lifts are really, really sharp.
Yeah.
They're really sharp and they're really heavy. So as he was climbing, I was wincing because you could see the blood coming out of his hands, guys, as he's trying to get to the next car.
Right, right.
And it's just ripping apart his skin.
Yeah.
And it's very, very intense movie.
Yeah.
A very intense movie. Only one of them makes it. I'm not going to say who. You guys are going to have to go ahead and watch
Ooh.
It. But it is a very, very, very good movie, honestly. And I'm not one, Daniel will even say, I'm not one for stranded movies.
Yeah.
I'm really not. Like, I like Open Water a little bit, but I'm not, like, really a fan of those kind of movies because it's kind of like, why the hell are you there?
Yeah.
But,
they're hit and miss.
But this one does a really, really good job. Like, the three kids go through, like, the five stages of, like, dealing with shit.
Yeah.
Like, the fighting, the crying, the I love you, that whole thing.
All that stuff, yeah.
All that good stuff. So, it actually gives you a lot, honestly. And I will have to say, for our younger viewers, or for the older people who listen who would like their younger kids to get into horror, they want to get into horror, this is actually not that bad. In the frostbite scene, you probably want to have them shut their eyes for.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's not that bad. Like, even the wolves, like, they kill both of them off screen. So, it's a really good movie, though. Daniel, what's your top 10 here?
By the way, I'm going to have to check that one out because I don't remember if I've seen it.
It's actually on YouTube, guys, right now.
Is it?
Yeah, free with ads.
Okay. Absolutely. I'll have to check that out. My number 10, this was a hard one for me to pick because this is when I was narrowing the list down, but it also felt kind of clear to me. I got to go Train to Busan. I don't know if you've heard or seen this movie. It's a Korean zombie movie.
I know what it is, but I haven't seen it.
It's amazing. Kevin would love it, your hubby, because it's you got subtitles and it's Korean actors, but... Just the emotion, because it's the fast zombie.
He's traveling with his daughter.
Yeah. And he's stuck on this little train. And just the confined space of being in a train and it's not Walking Dead zombies. These fast zombies that are ready to tear you up. I got two zombie movies on my list. This is one of them. Because I think zombies are a very necessary subgenre in horror.
Absolutely.
That has helped move it forward. You know, we're even seeing it now with Army of the Dead.
Mm-hmm.
But... this movie, just the connections to the characters, it's one of the best I've seen in a zombie movie. And, like, there's so many themes here about, like, heroic sacrifices and government and, you know, wealth class. And there's so much, like, little nitty-gritty, like, political commentary to get into with the zombie action and people getting their faces torn off. So this had to be my number 10.
Yeah, I'll definitely have to check that out because that sounds quite interesting.
Yeah, it's a great movie. You mean Kevin gotta watch it. But what's your number 9?
That is gonna have to be All of the Boys Love Mandy Lane. Mm. So everyone knows me. I am a huge slaughter serial killer fan. Like that's my genre.
Yeah.
Slasher thing. And All the Boys Love Mandy Lane did a really great job of getting you to believe one thing and then punching you in the gut with a twist.
With the other thing, yeah.
With another. So basically, because we tell you guys everything, basically Mandy is a beautiful girl. She's virginal and she's gorgeous. And she's one of those girls that she's really pretty, but she doesn't really know.
Yeah.
Kind of just ignores it. And she has a best friend who's a guy who's picked on constantly and whatnot, but that's why she hangs out with him because he's safe. And they end up at a party, and he's on the roof, and so is a guy that likes Mandy Lane. And he tells her, if you want to really impress her, why don't you jump into your pool from the roof? I'm sure you've done it before. I said, yeah, I have. And he's like, all right, well, she'll love that. And he missed the pool by a few feet. and ended up smashing his skull. So that was pretty intense. Then you flash forward to the next year, and from what you can tell, Mandy has become part of the popular crowd, whereas her best friend Ian has fallen into the loner crowd. And you think that, like, Mandy and him just don't talk to each other at all whatsoever anymore. And the boys in school, the popular boys, the popular girls are trying to get Mandy to come to this party that they're having at one of their father's farmhouses. And it's a really good movie because you think that the killer is after Mandy, but then you find out that Mandy orchestrated the entire thing. Yeah. And, like, she made a death pact with her best friend, who we didn't think was her best friend anymore. And she goes against him, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, because one of the people are still alive. So she goes after him and pretends that she's a good guy. And then she gets away with it. Okay. No one knows anything.
Crazy movie. I remember watching it with you.
Yeah, it really is very, very, very well done. It's got a very 70s, 80s vibe.
Yeah.
There's even a lot of the soundtrack is even like that. So it's a really good movie, though, honestly. Gave me Texas Chainsaw vibes, but a little bit less torture.
Absolutely.
All right, Daniel, your turn.
My number 9, I hope you remember this more than me, Mindy, but I do love this movie, and this is one of my favorites. I remember watching it with you when I was just a little tyke. Paul Walker was known for the Fast and Furious movies. Another movie that also had a car title in it, which not as known, but a great thriller, Joyride.
Oh my God, I forgot all about Joyride.
Yeah, that's a deep cut. But I love that movie. I should look it up for the fun. Who is his, like, funny friend?
Julia Stiles is in it. I know that. Wasn't
yeah.
she in it?
Yeah, I believe she was in it.
Maybe not.
Gotta find out who the buddy. Oh, Steve Zahn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were brothers.
Yeah. Hilarious. I mean, not even.
It was not Kristen Stewart. It was someone else.
No.
Leslie Smokey. I think she was in a Glass House and shit.
Yeah.
I think that's where I remember her. Great movie.
Yeah.
Honestly, guys, it starts off with two brothers taking a joyride. They're going to go stop and pick up one of the brother's friends from college and whatnot. And they're in a truck and they decide to fuck with some truckers. And this one trucker falls for it all. And they didn't realize this, but he was really, really lonely and just really angry.
Yeah.
So when he found out it was a trick, like, it was no holds barred. Like, he was coming after him. He was going to kill him.
Yeah.
So it's a very cat and mouse movie. Honestly, Paul Walker does great in it. So does Steven Zahn. They all do really good in it.
Yeah.
But I will have to say that it's definitely a cat and mouse type of movie.
Yeah, and I'm really drawn to those type of movies where it's like they're kind of like chicken with their head cut off, right?
Yeah.
And they're stuck in the car, and he's in this big truck, and the whole thing, like, it's intense driving scenes, but it's also like, will he catch us and kill us? Like, it's just
and, like,
the
one
dynamic.
At one point, they get out of their truck to run through a cornfield to see if maybe that's a better bet.
Absolutely.
And the truck just plows through the cornfield, and you're like, oh, shit, that's not good.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it just basically tells you, like, be careful who you mess with.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I wouldn't piss everybody off.
Yeah, you never know who you're going to piss off.
Yeah.
So just don't do it.
Don't do it. So, yeah, that would be my number 9, Joyride. What do you got?
Number 8 is going to have to be the Nightmare on Elm Street franchise, excluding the remake, because I hate that fucking thing. I love the Nightmare franchise. It definitely got more comedic, but then, like, a new Nightmare came out and, like, brought a more sinister light to it and whatnot, except my fiance has ruined it for me, guys. And when Heather Langenkamp, Nancy, is crawling through her child's bed, trying to get in a dream world, she's eating sleeping pills one by one.
Yeah.
And Kevin decided to compare it to James Woods on Family Guy, stopping and going, "Oh, piece of candy."
Oh, piece of candy. Yeah.
So he ruined that for me. But other than that, it's a really well done series. I mean, I will have to say a couple of them are kind of cheesy, like Freddy's Dead, The Final Nightmare,
yeah.
Like when he ends up having a kid. Like, that's just a little weird.
When we talked about the remake, it was hit or miss.
The remake was... I mean, I'm sure some of you liked it. Because I got to remember, like, Daniel's age. Like, you guys don't remember A Nightmare on Elm Street, unless you actually went and looked it up. Because you're too young. So, that's where me and Daniel do differ.
Yeah.
Is I tend to go for more of the old school.
Yeah.
He tends to go more of the new stuff.
Yeah, like glossy. Good cinematography.
Yeah.
But, you know, so you chose the whole franchise?
Yeah. Okay. Honestly, excluding the remake. Like I said, a couple of them did get really dumb.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. And I don't even think I watched those. I think I only saw, like, the main series. But then, like, Freddy vs. Jason, oh, my God, that just...
I love that movie.
Blew my heart.
Oh, my God.
For Robert Englund. I love Robert Englund.
That's
Englund,
his last movie.
And that's his last movie as Freddy.
Yeah.
And he does so well in it. He has to impersonate Jason's mother.
Yeah.
And he, like, gets really angry at him and is swearing at him and shit. It's hilarious.
It is. It's very hilarious.
So, I mean, it kind of, unfortunately, one of those series that went from being super scary to being funny.
Yeah.
But it
still
worked.
Good shit. Whenever Wes Craven was at the helm, it was usually good shit.
Yeah.
Normally. I'm not going to lie, for my list, I did take individual, like, things. I didn't do franchises, but that's fine. We can have different types of lists. My number eight, this is another nostalgic one, 1996 psychological thriller. One of my favorite movies, because you see a lot of these actors in different lights, like a young Reese Witherspoon, a young Alyssa Milano, a young Mark Wahlberg. I'm talking about the movie Fear.
I was going to say, you keep talking about Fear?
Yeah,
oh,
talking
my God.
About Fear.
I had Fear on DVD.
Yes, you did. You showed me Fear. And I love that movie. I love it because of the themes, the messaging. It could easily, with the wrong script and the wrong, you know, direction, it could have been a shitty Lifetime movie. It could have easily been a shitty life, but it was done so well.
And Mark Wahlberg is a psycho.
Oh, my God.
I would have never thought.
Yeah.
But he really, I mean, I remember the one scene he stands in front of a mirror for like an hour just punching himself.
Yeah.
Because he's trying to get the girl that he's in love with to side with him over her family. So he's trying to make it look like her dad beat him up. But it's like, what dedication?
He killed a dog. You
I
don't
didn't
do
like
that.
It. I didn't like that.
I liked it for the, well, obviously I don't like it, but it's the only time, usually I think it's too much in movies when they do it with animals, but that, it was creepily enough. He killed the family dog.
And
he
then
scared
he
the
put
shit
it
out of him.
Through
the
doggy
door.
That was probably really, really bad, but I liked it.
And you have the core message there, don't fall in love with the first person you meet. You know, the handsomest guy in the room isn't always the best. It was a good look for us uggos, damn it.
To your dad.
Yeah. Well, fuck Mark Wahlberg and his handsome ass. He's a scary bastard.
He was really scary, guys.
I thought he was great in that movie, though. That's one of my favorite performances.
Oh, absolutely, because he had really creepy vibe.
And it was nice seeing Reese Witherspoon in a final girl-ish type of role, even though she was, like, it wasn't a slasher, but...
Yeah, like, even though she's kind of done stuff like that, like Cruel Intentions and shit.
Yeah.
But, like, this was a little bit more out of her element, but it works with, like, the sweetness of her face and just babiness of her. And her being daddy's little girl, it ties in really well.
Yeah, you don't hate her, too.
No.
You feel bad
for her. You feel bad for her. You want her to win.
So I thought it was really enjoyable. You're number seven, Mindy. Trucking along.
That is going to have to be Village of the Damned. And you guys are really going to laugh because it's actually a remake.
Is it?
Yeah, Village of the Damned actually came out in the 60s. But I'm talking about the 1990s remake. Out in like 91 or 92. It's like one of the first ones I've ever seen. And it is about seven women who get pregnant at the same exact time. And then they all have birth at the same exact time.
Yeah.
And then all of the kids end up looking the same. They all have bleached blonde hair, blue eyes, pale skin, and just no emotion. And they can read minds. They can control your mind. They do a lot of really bad. And it's like if you want a cheap, creepy child movie, this is it.
That's a good one, yeah.
This is a really, really good one. It's got solid acting performances from the other older actors that need to be in it. I mean, the one, she's 3 years old. And she controls her mother into dumping a thing of hot water on her and killing her.
Yeah.
Like, that's off.
Yeah.
That's hard to do with children. Like, because she was, like, giggling. And that's really hard to do
with
an actual child.
Yeah, it is.
So it was a really good movie. And like I said, they showed no emotion. There was one that did, and he actually ended up getting away with the woman that gave birth to him. But other than that, all of them were just void of emotion.
Right.
And, like, the little girl, there was this little girl that would talk for them most of the time. And she would say, like, you guys are stupid. Like, we're just here to study you guys and then go back to our planet.
Yeah, absolutely.
So they were very much so aliens. But it was a creepy take.
It was fucking creepy.
It was good.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. I'll get into my number seven. As a man that makes a okay amount of money, you know, have my bank card, credit card, sometimes I like to visit the ATM. After watching this movie, not so much. ATM, Mindy, Josh Peck.
I remember ATM, guys. Oh, my God, man,
fucking creepy.
What a roller coaster ride of emotions.
Yeah, would you call this a slasher? Slasher-esque. I mean, the guy kills like three people.
I would say it's more like a cat and mouse.
Yeah, it's very psychological
kind
as well.
Kind of thing, especially because one of them gets arrested at the very end.
Yeah, for doing it.
For doing it, even though they didn't do it. And then, like, he goes to a storage unit, and, like, you never see the guy. But he goes to, like, a storage unit, and you find out that he's been doing this to, like, several different ATMs all over the country.
Yeah.
And that he plans to keep on doing it. That's creepy.
I don't know if there was a sequel or not.
I think there was supposed to be one.
Yeah.
But it never happened.
Yeah, but this, I mean, Josh Peck, I love Josh Peck. He was great in this
and
movie.
And he's such a comedic actor. But he, I mean, he sprinkled a little bit of comedy on it, but he did a really good job of being serious.
Yeah, he did. He was kind of a douchebag. Like, he wasn't supposed to be a bad guy, but he was kind of like a dick, too.
Yeah.
And I just, like, you genuinely, they felt scared. It's another claustrophobic, like, space being trapped in an ATM. And there's three of you, and there's one guy, but he's got this crowbar.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just,
and, like, he's going in the back and, like, screwing with the air conditioner.
Yeah.
And stuff. Like, there's things that he can do while you're in there that you can't,
yeah,
and you can't control, and you're screwed.
Exactly.
So it's a very dark take on
ATM.
I also have to say it really reminds me of a movie that Daniel's going to know as soon as I say it. It's called Phone Booth.
Yeah.
With Colin Farrell.
That
very,
similar.
Very similar.
Yeah.
Also a great movie. Honestly, I consider it more of a suspense thriller, so I didn't put it for my horror list.
Yeah.
but good movie. It's about, basically, it's about people, how they're obsessed with cell phones and our phones in general, and if one rings, they'll just answer it no matter what.
Yeah.
So, it's a good movie, but...
Exactly. And that's kind of how I felt about this movie. It was just the creepiness, the atmosphere. For a low-budget horror movie, they got that atmosphere and the shooting of it really well. And the darkness around the ATM and the fog and shit. So, yeah, that's my number. Seven? Was it seven?
Seven. We're on seven.
Okay.
Now we're on five.
Six.
Right? Sorry, guys. I can't count.
It's okay.
I can't count today. Six for me is... Then I have to throw it back a little bit. Bless the Child. I don't know if Daniel remembers ever watching this, but he did watch it with me a couple of times until Mom made me stop. Very religious horror movie, which is why my mother made me stop watching it. very satanic. Basically, there's a little girl, and she's so cute. She's got... like bright orange hair, and she's pale, and she's got little freckles, but she's autistic. But you find out she's not autistic. She's special. Yeah. Like, she can help. Like, she has a goodness in her, a light in her.
Right.
Like, she can go up to somebody and touch them and be like, I know your life has been hard, but it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
And they'll snap out of whatever they're doing. So, unfortunately for her, her mother comes to get her back when she's like 8 years old. And at this point, her mother is involved with a man who is a Satanist and who knows about her daughter. And he wants the daughter. Because the daughter can go either way. She can either get christened in blood and be bad and satanic and everything, or she could get christened in water and be light.
Yeah, right.
So it was very back and forth. Also, one of the main things that they did, which really creeped me out, was because she lived with her Aunt Maggie for a really, really, really long time. No, I believe her mother's name was Maggie. I can't remember the aunt's name. And the aunt went over to try and get the daughter back because they did kidnap her. So she went to try and get her back. And not only did they knock her out, but they put her in a moving car in the driver's seat. And they took out her brakes and put her on the highway. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that was really good. So I will have to say it's very action-y too,
yeah.
But that's what I like about it. It's a good dose of both. But again, if you like creepy horror and you like creepy kids, this is about, we're probably going to end up doing a top 10 of creepy kids. But this is definitely a standout because she's not a creepy kid. She's a child of light, a child of God, who's trying to be persuaded into being creepy and evil. So it's a different take.
Good shit.
It's kind of like if Rosemary's Baby grew up.
Yeah.
Like, what side would she take? It's definitely a good versus evil.
Yeah.
But honestly, very, very well done. Loved that movie.
Absolutely. All righty. My number six. Here we go. I'm gonna look at my fucking list. All right. I got to do this one because it's named after my, well, maybe I shouldn't say my apartment number building, but 1408, John Cusack, Samuel L. Jackson, haunted, you know, the haunted hotel, the whole vibe, you know, the backstory behind it. Another psychological thriller. I'm just into those. Yeah, it's just, it's not very gory. There are some things, though, like when the window smashes on his hand, that still cringes me the fuck out watching it this day. But John Cusack's a great actor, so he's great in the role. Samuel Jackson's a class act. So him as the hotel manager, the creepy hotel manager, he does it well. And just everything
about
the movie.
Everyone does their job.
Yes, everything about the movie, the whole, even the backstory into his past and how he's a piece of shit, and all the, like, scary, you know, creepy elements leading him to the suicide or whatever. And everything about the movie is well done. I love it.
Yeah. I would have to agree. I don't really have much more to say about it. I do love John Cusack in a few different roles. I actually have another one of his roles on my list. He was really, really good at horror.
Yeah.
So, but as far as me knowing really anything about the movie, I don't really know that much.
Yeah, it's older.
It was older. Yeah. I watched it maybe like 4 or 5 times. It was really creepy, but I got a really big thing with, like, bringing children back from the dead, like, teasing it.
Yeah.
And they did that in this movie, and I really didn't appreciate it. You didn't have to do that. That was too far.
Yeah. I mean, it was imperative to fuck with his head, but I get it.
It was just a little bit too far.
All right, what's your number 5? We're halfway through here.
I'm going to go after your girl here, your Brittany Snow.
Oh, shit.
And we're going to do Would You Rather.
Ooh. I love this movie.
This movie.
Yeah.
It is everything that he wanted in all of those truth or dares.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's everything that you want in a game-turned-horror movie.
Absolutely.
It's very Saw-like, not going to lie.
Yeah.
It is very brutal.
Torture porn.
A little bit.
Ish, yeah.
I really wouldn't say torture porn.
Yeah.
But it teeters on the line.
Yeah.
A little bit. Very, very sad movie, though.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to give it away, but the ending will break your heart.
Yeah, it's sad.
It's so sad.
Mm.
So, and it's going to hit you in the gut.
Absolutely.
But that's all I'll really say about it, because I don't really want to give that much away about this one. I really like this one. I really want you guys to check this one out. It is on Netflix still. Would you rather? The thumbnail picture for it is going to be Brittany Snow in a dress. It is not prom night, I swear to God.
But shout out to my boy Ricky. I gotta give my shout out to Trailer Park Boys. He did a different role, a non-comedic role, and he's still smashing up the fucking park as the poker player.
I know. I can't believe he did that.
Yeah, you forget Ricky was in that movie.
I had to watch it, like, a few different times, like, his scene a few different times to make sure that it was the right person.
Yeah, it was Ricky. That's John Paul, whatever
the
hell.
Yeah, it was. And he did it. Hats off to you.
Yeah.
Because that's really hard to do, especially coming from, like, an improv, funny...
Yeah, he's a comedic actor.
Yeah, he's a comedic actor, and he's also a physical comedian as well.
Yeah.
So it was very interesting to see him switch roles.
Yeah, I mean, and they had a couple comedic actors, because they had the guy from My Name is Earl, too, with the afro.
Yep, and then they had the little old lady from Shameless.
Yeah, she was in it. And the best actor in the movie, I forgot his name, but I know he dies first. He gets shot in the fucking head when he tries to leave the alcoholic.
The alcoholic.
But I know he's like an acclaimed actor.
Yeah, I can't remember his name right now, but good job.
Yeah, great movie. I agree with you. That is a great number 5. Now, going to my number 5, it may surprise you how high up on my list, but I am going to delve into the Scream franchise now.
Really?
Yeah. And I got to give it to Scream 2.
Yeah.
It's my one of my favorite slasher movies of all time.
That's my...
It beat Scream 1 in every way for me. I love Scream 1. I love what it paved. I love everything it did for the horror genre. But when you talk about perfect sequels, it's hard to get better in a sequel than Scream 2.
I mean, and they even discussed in the sequel how much sequels
are. Yeah, and they do it perfectly. And it's never too much.
No.
The boyfriend's great. I love that actor. I love Mickey. I love Mrs. Loomis. Love
and once
Randy
again,
Steph.
Man, that's off. Mickey's actor, Timothy Olympian?
No.
Elephant?
Yeah, Elephant.
Okay. Timothy Elephant will still go in history to this day as the serial killer that avoided suspicion but wasn't in the movie for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And I love him for that.
Yeah, that's he's just, the man.
It's so great. Like, he, 1 minute he's sitting next to Sydney in the hospital room getting nervous about Derek and everything. And then the next minute he's dancing around in the cafeteria while Derek's singing I Think I Love You. And then he's just gone. Like, Derek shows up and Sydney's like, what are you doing here? Mickey was supposed to be here. And he's like, oh, well, Mickey's doing some editing, so I came here instead. And she got really creeped out because she was just attacked.
Yeah, exactly.
So it made her think that it was him. But I also think that that was a really good setup by Mickey.
Yeah, I mean, everything about the movie, all the characters, I mean, Mickey's one of my favorite serial killers, like, in general. Randy, his death just meant so much for the franchise, and I just think, when you look at the Scream franchise, you say, what's the best movie in that franchise? I gotta go Scream 2.
Yeah.
So that's my number 5.
I agree. Number 4 is The Autopsy of Jane Doe.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge psychological ghost fanatic.
Right.
But this movie really had it all.
Good.
Honestly, it had creepy, it had suspense, it had my good friend Emil Hirsch. I don't really know him. I just wish I did. From Alpha Dog. And they did a really, really, really good job together. And then the man that played his father did an excellent job together. And it was just creepy that they find out that there's, like, no organs in this woman. And that, like, her body is basically, like, a map. Like, what the hell? And then she seals up and, like, kills everything and then goes back to being just a Jane Doe. And it's like, oh, what? Okay. So it's a bit of a mind fuck. Not gonna lie to you guys, but honestly, it's on Netflix. Check it out. It's such a good movie. Even if you don't think you're gonna like it, it is such a good
movie. Yeah, it is. It really is a good movie.
That was your number 4, right?
Yep.
Damn, we're getting through it,
guys.
I know my next one is probably on both of our lists, but I gotta bring it up. My girl, Jennifer Love Hewitt. I love this movie. Did you want to say the title? No, you're a big fan of it as well. My boy Philippi's in it.
I know what you did last summer, and you bastard, you stole my second.
I'm sorry. I was like, because I know it's on both of our lists. I just know it is. So it's like whoever says it first is the other one's fucked. But this was genuinely my number 4. It's my second favorite slasher of all time.
That's
my first,
my
we'll get into
two.
It. I love this movie, everything about it, the themes of consequences, of young love, of being young and stupid, of, you know, romance,
young
of
and drunk.
Never getting out of the town or, like, escaping the town. And,
don't drink and drive.
Yeah, and the small town vibes, just the
and, creepiness. Like, the big dreams falling through.
Yeah,
all of it. It all ties together so well, and it does such a great job of the whodunit aspect.
Yeah. And as much as I love Skeet Ulrich, Matthew Lillard, all that, this is the best young cast in a scary movie that you can get. I love the Cruel Intentions cast. Sarah Michelle Gellar knocks it out of the fucking park. This is not – I
and
do
also,
have one more movie of hers.
Her and Ryan were dating.
Yeah.
So –
and you can tell.
You can tell. And then she ended up actually marrying Freddie Prinze Jr.
Well, actually, no. He was dating Reese Witherspoon because she got him the role.
But I don't know. Yeah, she was actually. That was Reese Witherspoon's ex. Sorry, guys.
That's okay.
She did get together with Freddie Prinze Jr.
Yeah.
And I will have to say, it was such a switch for her. She was doing Buffy.
Yeah.
So it was such a switch from her going to being, from being the protagonist and the hero and the kick-ass person to being the scared little girl that's screaming because her hair's cut off.
Yeah. Exactly.
So it was very, very cool to watch basically all of them, because Jennifer Love Hewitt was also in Party of Five along with
Yeah.
Campbell.
And it was a way different role.
And it was a way different way different role. Like Ryan Phillippe, he was in Cruel Intentions, way different role.
Yeah.
Freddie Prinze Jr., he was known for She's All That when this came out.
Yeah.
Very different role.
Yeah. Very different. Everything about the movie, the whole fisherman aspect of it, it was the best way for the screenwriter, you know, our boy.
Kevin Williamson,
the man, the myth, the legend. It was a great, you know, 1-2 punch after Scream to hit him with this, like a more classic 80s slasher type movie from the new generation.
Yes, so, and a lot of people say that this is like a ripoff of Scream.
I disagree.
But exactly. Yeah. Like, I disagree, too, because like we've actually seen interviews with Mr. Williamson saying that this was not supposed to be a Scream ripoff.
No, and it's not a whodunit. No. I mean, you think Freddie Prinze Jr. might be the guy for like 2 seconds, but it's not a whodunit.
Not a total whodunit, no. But there is a few people that you jump to.
Yeah, but it's not like Scream whodunit. No. So that's my number four. What do you got, man?
Number three, we're going to throw it back to Mr. Cusack. Let me cross out my number two here because Daniel just screwed that.
I'm sorry.
The movie called, I don't know if Little Dahomo remembers this. I showed him this when he was about 8. The movie called Identity. And it's about a serial killer named Malcolm Rivers who is being transported and on his very last day, right before he's transported to the state penitentiary to be killed, his defense lawyers come at them with insanity.
Yeah.
And on the flip side, you have this story with like these 10 different people in this hotel, and like they're all getting killed off one by one, fucked up shit's happening and everything. And then towards the end, you find out that all of this is going on in Malcolm's head. John Cusack, everyone that was there, they're all Malcolm.
Yeah.
He had multiple personalities. But they did it in such a way that it was so good. Like, they had John Cusack being him at first, like with his face. They showed him the mirror, and all he saw was John Cusack. He didn't see himself. So he was like, he didn't see John Cusack. He saw himself. And he's like, what's wrong with my face? That's not my face. What's wrong with my face?
Yeah.
And they're like, no, it is your face, Malcolm. Like, you murdered many people. And you find out he was a serial killer. But very, very well done.
Yeah.
I would put it more in the psychological slasher genre, but to me it still is a horror movie through and through. It is a definite whodunit, but then you find out at the end everyone did it because they're all in his personality, so everyone pretty much did it. So it's such a good movie though. It's on Hulu. I would say definitely check it out. Great movie.
Number three. Well, I got to do one movie by the new age horror genius we know as Jordan Peele. I'm not going to do Get Out. I'm going to do the one we saw in theaters, Us. And
such a good movie, guys.
I love it. The themes in Get Out is great. It's on such a bigger scale in Us, and it's more society as a whole. And just all the things he does, all the little nuances, all the little Easter eggs. Like, as a horror fan, you can watch that movie over and over and over again and find new shit. And I respect it because it's hard to do. And everything, his storytelling's amazing. The comedy beats are great when the family's like, the little girl's like, well, I killed 3 people, so I'm the most important. And the dad's like, no, I got 4 of them. And it's like the little scenes, like, all, and it's like, and it's becoming very real that it's happening all across the country and there's no way to like get out of it. And then the big twist, of course I won't spoil it, but there's a big twist and it'll throw you for a loop. Jordan Peele.
And also one thing that Jordan Peele is doing, which I really like, is he's getting artists to take these old R&B hits and break them down.
Yeah.
And be more creepy. And this one they used I Got 5 on it.
Yeah, they turned that into a scary fucking song.
And they turned that into a very scary song. And then in the upcoming movie, The Candyman, he actually got Destiny's Child to do a really creepy version of Say My Name.
Yeah. Now, I'm sorry I'm doing another honorable mention, but I did have to nudge out a movie for this. I had to nudge out The Grudge with Sarah Michelle Gellar because I really wanted to put that in here, but I needed to talk about it at some point.
Okay.
But the Us got it because it was just such a bigger movie in scale, and everything
they
that
kept
that,
us on the edge of
our- yeah, the whole time, and just the storytelling was so much more well done. So that had to get my number three.
I don't have a number two. You took my number two.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay. You didn't know.
I figured it was on both of our lists, but I didn't. Do you have an alternate you want to throw in there? I know you have a shit ton.
I already did my honorable mention and shit. That's fine.
Okay. Well, you can have The Grudge if you want.
I don't like The Grudge.
What? You showed me The Grudge.
Yeah, but...
Huh? Oh, yeah. Okay, we'll move on. But Sarah Michelle Gellar and all that shit, she's a great scream queen.
She
I had to bring
is.
Her up.
She does such a good job.
And I thought she was a good lead in that movie. But, all right, let's move on. We'll go to my number two then. The greatest slasher movie of all time. Friday the 13th, Part 4, The Final Chapter.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
What? Don't you give me that shit. This is the greatest slasher movie of all time. You have a young Tommy Jarvis who, oh, God, I can't fuck up his name now. What's his name? The kid from the Goonies and shit and the Lost Boys.
The
no, not the Truffle Shuffle kid, the smart one. Oh, what the fuck is his name? Lost Boys?
Odie?
Yeah.
Corey Feldman. Corey Feldman.
A young Corey Feldman killing it, you know, as Tommy Jarvis, this new career, his sister Trish, you have the dad from Back to the Future, and his whole storyline is that he's a dead fuck, and he's a bad lay, and he's got to show this girl that he can do it. It's got, you know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. It's what made horror and slashers the thing that it is today.
No, it did not.
Okay. It's amazing. It's better than any Halloween movie, and you can quote me on that, Jack. Friday the 13th Part 4 is slashers done right. The way Jason kills everybody, he's got the signature hockey mask, the whole stuff with his mom's over. You got your signature Jason. He's tormenting this kid. And at the end, they do it perfectly because writing Tommy Jarvis in that script and having a little kid fight off against this big monstrous behemoth was done so well, and you have the innocence of a child.
Yeah, but you already
have the innocence
had
of a
that
child,
with Halloween 4 and 5 when Michael was going after his niece.
Yeah, but that was a little girl. Tommy Jarvis is a little badass, and he went ham.
She blew up a building!
Yeah, she got lucky.
Tommy
Jarvis is an absolute badass. He had a 3-movie trilogy after this.
All right, guys, Instagram, Facebook, whatever. We're tweeting it. Tommy Jarvis versus the little girl in Halloween because I cannot remember.
I put Tommy Jarvis right up there with, what's her name? Oh, I'm going to get fucking killed for this. Not Sydney. But I put him up there with a lot of final girls. And even though he's not a girl. But Tommy Jarvis is the man. He was a badass kind of hero to go against Jason. And he was a little kid. And then at the end when he kills Jason, and this Jason actually dies. He slices the dude's brain in half. And while he's killing him, his sister's looking at him like, you're turning into... And it's cool the way she looks at him like, wow, you're becoming psycho too because you're killing this man. And all the dynamics of the movie, I just enjoy. Best slasher of all time. That's okay. What's your number one? Are you drawing a flower?
No, I was actually drawing a broom. The Candyman.
Yes.
The original one. Not Farewell to the Flesh or Day of the Dead or whatever. Just the original Candyman. But I love Tony Todd to death. He is so creepy. He is the epitome of a horror actor. He is just so scary. He looks scary. He sounds scary. He's just a creepy dude. And The Candyman was his movie. And also, it's very sad, too. The Candyman had a very, very, very weird story. So, the man is known as the Candyman. I can't remember his name. But basically, he was born into a house of slaves. And it was found out very early on that he was a very talented painter. So a rich family actually ended up buying him to make a portrait of their very wealthy, very beautiful young daughter. Did that, and they fell in love. Forbiddenly, she got pregnant. The town took it very, very horribly. They covered him with bees, and when they covered him with honey, then poured bees all over him, and then they killed the kid. It's a very bad story. He's a very vengeful character. He's the male version of Bloody Mary. He is very good at it. He's very good at being creepy.
Yeah, Candyman's a classic. We'll cover it. All right, drum roll. My number one, I said I had another zombie movie. This has to be my favorite horror movie of all time. Zack Snyder's first movie, Dawn of the Dead. I loved this movie. One of the only instances, and I would love for anybody to challenge me, where the remake is better than the original. You cannot say the 1970 Dawn of the Dead is better than this movie.
No.
You just can't do it. This movie, Fast Zombies, it brought Fast Zombies into the mainstream. It's one of the first movies to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Everything about it, the emotions, the characters.
I mean, but the original, not to cut Daniel off here, but the original actually is a shot for shot with the remake. It's just, it didn't drive it home, unfortunately. So it fell short.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot different.
But if you go back and you watch it, like, they're the same characters, same names, they're trapped in the mall. Yeah. Basically the same premise.
Yeah, but a lot different.
But
I mean, the zombies are
they
slow.
They did it a lot better in this one.
Yeah.
Especially with them escaping to, wasn't this the one where they escaped to the island?
Yeah.
That they think is unpopulated, but then they find out that there's a zombie.
That's the end, and then they all
die.
Yeah, that's the end of it.
Oh my god, man. I've never been more scared of a disturbed bomb.
Oh,
in my
down
life.
With the sickness? Wow.
Yeah, like I did never thought that Down with the Sickness could be a scary song. Watch
it
people get eaten to it.
And, I mean, Zack Snyder, I love to death, obviously. He's had two hits. Army of the Dead is... People wanted Army of the Dead, the new Netflix movie, because of Dawn of the Dead, because people wanted to see his next take on zombie movies. And I love Army of the Dead. Obviously, it doesn't make my list because it's too fresh in the head. But Dawn of the Dead, as a zombie fan and as a horror fan, if you are just a horror fan and aren't even into zombies,
it's
watch this.
Pretty good.
I think you'll still like it. I really do.
Yeah, it's actually pretty good, guys. I'm not totally a zombie fan. And I will have to say, it's really, really good. You got a lot of dynamics in there. You got a pregnant girl.
Yeah, I mean, you got the guy from Modern Family, Ty Burrell, and he's a douchebag, and he's like the scumbag of the group. Just everything. You got the tough guy, the two guys on the buildings talking to each other from across the zombies and like goggles.
Very creative.
I really love that movie. It's got to be my number one.
Well, guys. I think we covered it.
I think we did. You just got to let them know what we're doing next week, and we'll send it home.
Okay, so next week we are going to be alone again. Daniel is actually going home back to New York for one of our close friends' birthdays, and I'm staying back to fish you all with my cousins, and we are going to be doing the Evil Dead series retrospective. The reason why we're calling it a retrospective is because I am going to go after the remake as well. All four movies will be involved. Do you guys have any questions or anything to add on it? Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, all that good shit. You know how to get a hold of us.
Absolutely. And I already have what we're doing in 2 weeks.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Don't Breathe.
Yes!
I love that movie.
Oh, I want to review it now. Okay, bye, guys. I love you. Hootie who.
Hootie who. Have a good one. We'll see everybody next
week. Be safe.